Welcome. So glad you've joined us this morning. We're in the book of Acts, and you can turn there. You can go there on your phone. You can follow along on the screen above us, or if you're online, you can follow along on the screen below you there. We're looking at the whole idea of the subject of prayer, because when you look, you find that prayer's mentioned the most in the book of Psalms, the second most in the book of Acts. And that's because this is the whole movement of the early church. How are they going to do what they're going to do? How they're going to do what they've been called to do by Jesus? It's all about prayer, and you just keep finding it in different places. We started off the first week with this one. The only way we'll be the church of Jesus Christ is to be a church who prays with one passion, that passion being for Jesus, for Jesus' will to be done, for what Jesus has called us to do, for the message that Jesus gave us. And we said we're breaking this up in 3 weeks, and so we're in that middle week. So powerful works was last week, powerful gospel this week. Next week will be powerful deliverance, that nothing could stop the gospel. But this week we're going to talk about the gospel, the powerful gospel, because over and over again, and you're going to see this today, we're going to talk really about three hurdles that happened, that were faced by the early church, especially when it came with the gospel, and how were they going to make sure that this got out. So I need you to know that the early church really had one central message. They didn't have 50 different messages. They had one. And that was Jesus is the Messiah, or Jesus is the Christ. And he is the only way for salvation. Okay? There's no other way. And you need to understand that. There is just one message. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is the Messiah. And this is for the Jewish people that was promised to us in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled all of that. So he is the only way for salvation. Now, I want to show you that early on here. So when Peter gets up, because he says this, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Repent. That's just saying you've been thinking differently. Many of you didn't think Jesus was Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the only way. Repent. We want you to think differently about Jesus. And next part, he says, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, he says, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. There's a great passage, right? Repent. So the thing that you want the most from God is to be refreshed in who he is. And that comes from his presence, which happens when we repent of our sins. In chapter 4, he says, Peter makes this statement, and there is salvation in no one else. Keep looking, but it's in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved. There's one name. There's one thing we trust in. So that becomes this message early on. Hey, this is what we're all about. This is the message of the church. It's repent, turn to Christ. He is the only one for salvation. That becomes their message. And you see it in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 in the book of Acts, this early history book of the church. So you need to know that Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, gives them their mission. So how would this message be shared and to whom? This is Acts 1:8. This is kind of the mission statement of the entire book of Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth. And if you really want a simple way to look at the book of Acts, that's what it is. Okay, it starts in one place, it goes to the next place, it goes to the next place. All of a sudden, Paul is traveling all over. And for in his day, it was like the farthest part of the earth they were going to in order to share this message. You're going to be my witnesses, Jesus says. You have a message to share. That's the message you need to be going about sharing. So I want to talk about three hurdles today to this message, because I think we face these same hurdles today. I don't think they're anything new. I think we struggle with the same hurdles they did, just in different ways. The first one is this, okay? Who is the gospel for? Who is the gospel for? Their first hurdle was, there's these Gentiles, okay? By the way, that's everybody in the room, probably, and everybody watching online, okay? We're all Gentiles. And we're the ones that they didn't know if the message was for. We're Jews. Jesus was a Jew. He came as the Messiah to the Jews. Why are the Gentiles included in this? That was their first struggle. who is the gospel for? So in Acts 10, there's a great passage, there's a great story. And I don't have time to tell you all of this today. But it's about Peter and a man by name of Cornelius. It's amazing. They're both praying. Cornelius is praying to know the gospel, to be able to meet someone. By the way, he's a Roman soldier. That's who he is. He is a commander of a certain amount, and he is praying, asking God to provide somebody to help him know the way, to help him understand everything about Jesus. Peter, at the same time, this is what's amazing about chapter 10, is also praying, and God shows him, takes him in a vision, and Peter and Ted take up and eat. So if you go to Leviticus, there's all these things you're not supposed to eat. And just imagine God just showing Peter all of that. And Peter's like, oh, I can't eat that. That's against the law. We can't do that. That's unclean. And so through that, Jesus says, oh, Peter, you got it. Don't call something unclean and I've called clean. I want you to take the message to the Gentiles. And thus starts this process of them understanding that the gospel is bigger than just this group of people called the Jews. It's bigger than that. It's for everyone. And in fact, I want you to see this. He said to them, you know, imagine walking into somebody's house and saying this to them. Okay, you got to picture that. Okay, you know, it's unlawful for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. Isn't that a great visit? Hey. Thank you for letting me into the house. You know, it's really unlawful that I'm here. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't you feel uncomfortable? You'd be like, oh, well, there's the door. Just leave, right? Just leave. You'd be uncomfortable with that. But he's telling them what he grew up understanding, okay? And then he says, yet God has shown me, because that's the only one to get through to Peter, that I should call no person defiled or ritually unclean. I thought that was you. Now, in Peter's defense, he grew up, and guess what he learned in school? That's what he learned in school. That's what he was taught all the time. And I'm going to show you from first century what they were told about the Gentiles. So if this was built into you, you would think the same way. I would think the same way. Okay, watch this. They allowed trade and commerce with the Gentiles, okay? So we'll just say the Gentiles owned Walmart. It was okay to go there and buy from Walmart, okay? You could trade with them. You could do commerce with them, okay? But you couldn't have any familiar conversation. In other words, they could say, you owe me $5, okay? That's not a familiar conversation. You could not talk to them and have any type of relationship with them. It was prohibited. Can you imagine that? Being told that your whole life. Yeah, you can go trade with them, but don't talk to them. Don't talk to them, okay? You have nothing in common with them. Stay away from them, okay? You cannot eat or drink with them in their houses. Nor can you walk with them in the streets or on the road. Wow, okay? And you grow up and you are told this over and over and over and over again. And I will tell you, do you think, wow, why did they do that? They did that because in the Old Testament, okay, everybody made the same mistake. They kept hanging out with Gentiles. The problem was they would marry these Gentiles. These Gentiles didn't follow God, and they ended up worshiping all sorts of other things. King Solomon's a great example. He did that. By the end of his life, okay, the temple's there, and so is in an altar to about every other god, idol, that they had in their region at that time. Why? Because he married, you know, this Gentile, and she's like, well, I come with a god. Okay, well, I'll build one for you too, and that's what he did. And so they were like, we gotta prevent this. So instead of just making sure they understood that, they're like, you know what? You won't marry somebody you don't talk to, right? We would think, okay? You won't do that. You wouldn't, right? So they made all these rules up to make sure they didn't break that. They didn't break that, okay? Can I tell you that Luke says that the angels at the birth of Christ told them that the gospel was for everyone. We read this almost every Christmas. Do not be afraid. Listen carefully. For I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to, what's that word? All. Told them back then. And they're like, no, I don't think that means all. Okay. I just think that means all the Jews. No, it means everybody. They were told from the beginning, the angels gave them that message. This gospel's for everyone. Do you know one of the verses we quote most often from Romans chapter 10? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's from Joel chapter 2. That's also quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. That he was starting to understand then, because God's taking back, listen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want you to know that's a big hurdle. That's a big hurdle for some of you to think, oh, the gospel is for everyone. No, you're not too far gone. No, it hasn't been 50 years of sin and not following God, so you don't have a chance. Nope. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, we have to remember that. It's not our job to sit there and go, I don't know, that's a pretty bad person, okay? I don't know. Let me tell you, if you don't think this is true, oh, I don't know if that's true, okay? Let me tell you, when news leaked out, I don't know if it's true or not, you can read books about it, you can decide for yourself. When news leaked out that Jeffrey Dahmer, okay, and if you don't know that name, don't Google it, okay? Just think, worst person ever, okay? He came to know Christ. I'm telling you, people lost their mind. People lost their mind. I don't know if I want to go to heaven if Jeffrey Dahmer's there. You think he's the same, okay? Let's just assume he is. Don't you think he has been utterly transformed into the likeness of Christ? But I'm telling you, a lot of people lost it. That was like one of the biggest discussions. I was helping to do camp at that time, and that was a big discussion. Well, really, can God save everyone? Well, don't we teach that? Actually, isn't in this book that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? So I want you to think, who do I not think the gospel is for? Who do I think is beyond the reach of God? Who do I think, oh, they're too far gone? They're too far gone. And we have a lot of that. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to watch the news, see all the protests going on campus and go, oh, I don't know. No. You realize the gospel is for them. That's what will change their lives. That's what will change the direction of every single college campus where you watch those things taking place. When you see that, I'm telling you, that's what you need to think about. When you see the worst of the worst that is before us, oh gosh, they need the gospel, because the gospel is what will transform and change lives. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't think you're too far gone. Don't think, oh, I've had too many chances. I sat in church as a kid, and I wanted nothing to do with God. No. If you are not dead, you are not done, okay? There's the opportunity for our Heavenly Father to reach you. And he would love to do that. He died to do that. So I want us to, when that comes into our mind, we have to push that away. No, that's not true. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Think about the person you think is the farthest from God, and Jesus did everything to reach that person with the gospel. They need the gospel. So I think that's the first hurdle. It was the first hurdle for them, really, the Gentiles. I'm not allowed to go in their house. I'm not allowed to do anything but trade with them. I can't have any type of conversation with them. Them? Yes. The gospel is for them. The second, how will more people know about this gospel? Okay? And I want you to see a scene that we've talked about before. But in Acts 13 is Paul's first missionary journey. And I'm telling you, the more I read about this, the more it just amazes me that what we'll talk about next week, the deliverance of the people who took care of that message. Yes, most of them died a martyr's death, but to be protected, to take the gospel where they took it, is utterly amazing, okay? They didn't buy a ticket and hop on a plane, okay? They didn't get in their car. They had to go on ships. And if they didn't find the right ship, most of the time, they would be beat up and robbed. I mean, that's just the way it was. There were sections that were really dangerous to travel, and that's why Paul, we're going to see it next week, gives us a list of all the things he faced. And you look at that list and go, really? Yeah, that was probably the first missionary journey, okay? And that's what he was willing to do to take this gospel, okay? It was hard, it was difficult, and it was challenging. So there's the first missionary journey. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them because they are doing the Lord's will. They're in prayer. They're in fasting. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. That's really important. How is this gospel, how is this message going to get everywhere? Well, in the first century, God used an empire called Rome to build roads and do all sorts of things that opened up all this area for the gospel to go. It's absolutely amazing. And so into that comes Saul and Barnabas to be sent off for that. They would normally go to the synagogue because they're Jewish. That's where they would start because they knew the Messiah was supposed to come. They would tell them, Messiah came. His name is Jesus. He died in our place, rose for our forgiveness, okay? And quite often, and you can read in the book of Acts, they looked and they said, wow, great message. No. They looked and they said, throw him out. Throw him out. That's not true. Throw him out. But people in the synagogue were like, oh, Messiah's here. His name is Jesus. And they believed and they followed Paul. Well, now they don't belong to the synagogue anymore because they left the synagogue. So what do? You set up things called churches. In the Greek, it's the word ekklesia. They did not look to build a building. They met in people's houses. And here's all the people that left the synagogue believing that Jesus is the Messiah. They've accepted the message. They've gone out. And all of a sudden, these churches begin to form in all these different places. The church, where the followers of Christ gathered for worship, discipleship, fellowship, and instruction. That's what they came for. That's what they came for. And every time we miss that, okay, we have problems. And we do right now. We have a movement in America of large churches who believe their purpose is to entertain. That's not what the early church did. Okay? That's not our purpose. Right? I'm not up here doing stand-up comedy. Okay? I'd be terrible at it. Okay? That's not what I'm here doing. Okay? Hoping to get a crowd. I'm actually just trying to walk through scripture that we would understand what we are called to do. As a church, when we gather for worship, discipleship, fellowship, and instruction. That's what they did. That's what we do. We gather for those things, and then there's the opportunity to go from there and to share that with other people. Right? To share that. If they're gathering for worship, discipleship, fellowship, and instruction, then they're going out and they're sharing that message with the people they work with, the people they're in the marketplace with, their families, telling them if they were Jews, listen, the Messiah's come. This is awesome. Messiah's come. This is great. And so they would tell them, and they would either follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. They'd either repent of their sins or go, no, he'll come someday. And they would tell everybody. And into the Gentile world, they would tell everybody they could, Jesus has come. He has come. We need to repent, find forgiveness, and follow him with all our lives. That's what the church was about. That's what its message was. That's what its mission was. It goes out because you and I choose that we're not just going to sit here and be absorbers, that we're actually going to go out and share that message with the people around us. There are two C's. You can look this up. There's two C's that are talked about all the time in the New Testament, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. You want to know the difference was? One had an outlet and one was all just in. The Dead Sea is supposedly awesome. You can go and just float in it, okay? There's so much in it, that so many minerals and things. There's no life in it. You can just bob in the thing because of all the minerals in it, okay? But it's dead because all it has is an inlet. Everything comes in, nothing goes out. If we want to be alive, it's not just in, it's then out. Who am I sharing this message with? Who am I praying for? Where am I looking for opportunities to share about Christ? Third hurdle. Is it Jesus plus become Jewish? That was a big hurdle. That was a big hurdle. Acts chapter 15. So Paul has done his first missionary journey. On the heels of that missionary journey, there are other people who thought it really, really important to go tell all these Gentiles, right, knock on their door, hey, invite us into your church. We have an important message. Okay, what is it? You need to be Jewish now, okay? It's not just enough that you're following Jesus, okay? You're Gentile, you have to be Jewish. And I'm going to show you this. So in Acts 15, watch what happens. in Acts 15, here's the message that they're told. Now some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, here it is, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And all the men left the room quickly, okay? That's exactly what happened, okay? We don't do this now because of it. You make a decision in a hospital room, right, a few days after birth, okay? But imagine somebody walking in and saying that, and you're like, what? Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. I did not sign up for that. That's what they're thinking, and that's what somebody comes in and tells them. Wait a minute, it's not enough that you're following Jesus. You also have to become Jewish, okay? What you need to know is Jesus plus anything is not the gospel, and it diminishes his death and resurrection. It does. And I see these battles all the time. I enjoy being on Twitter or X or whatever you call it. I enjoy watching the debates and conversations, even though at times they are crazy. And I'm telling you, the two most I've seen in the last probably month or two are Jesus plus, you got to keep the Sabbath. I don't know why that one has resurfaced, but it has. And so people get on there and go, I don't know, I've read the Bible, and if I don't follow the Sabbath, I'm not going to be safe. No, you haven't read the Bible. I don't know what you're reading, but you haven't read the Bible. And I, all the time I tell them, go to Acts 15, because Acts 15 at the end is, you know what? In order for you Gentiles, okay, if you want to be kind and considerate to your Jewish brothers, here's what we want you to do. There was a couple of things, okay, that are things that the Jewish people did in dietary laws in the Old Testament, okay? Guess what it doesn't say? You got to keep the Sabbath. Come on, guys. You got to keep the Sabbath. They didn't. In fact, when the church gathered, there's a reason we gather on Sunday. The reason they gathered on Sunday was because that's the day the Lord rose from the dead. So they gathered on that day. It was a work day, so they came to church probably at 6 in the morning. I mean, just let that set in, and you're like, wow. So it isn't Jesus plus Sabbath. The second one. Jesus plus baptism. Jesus plus baptism. Now, we're going to have a baptism. I urge you to do it because I think it's an important spiritual step. I think it's important that you make sure your family understands that you have decided to follow Jesus. It's a chance for you to share your story. I love hearing your stories about when you came to Christ. So I think baptism is really important. Not a condition for salvation. It's not. It's not. How do I know that? One of the things I like to do is look at the thief on the cross. If you want to add anything to the gospel, just go back and look at the thief, the revolutionary, whatever he was, that was hanging on two sides of Jesus, okay? And he looks at Jesus, and he says, what? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I don't know. We got to get you baptized. Can we get some rain around here? No, he didn't do that. And I don't want to be just joking about it, but I need you to understand that. There's nothing there. There's nothing. If that was the point to add something, Jesus would have added it there and said, oh, time out. Can you give me at least 3 years? Can you give me something? No, there's nothing. We have to add nothing to the gospel. I know it's tempting. I know it's tempting. And in our culture, we like to add lots of things. I've heard all sorts of things added. See all sorts of debates on Twitter. Outside of those two, it's always, well, don't you have to be a certain political party and be saved? No. What did anybody do before 18, you know, 50s when a party existed? Okay, what did you do before America? I mean, this is our problem. We know things are important. And instead of just making sure we instruct and teach and help people understand they're important, we just start adding them to salvation. And that's really, really dangerous. And we should never do that. Because Jesus plus anything isn't the gospel. And it just diminishes his death and resurrection by saying you need something else. I need to keep all this. I need to do. It's always about do. And I know that's part of our system. We like to earn things. You know, we like to work hard and earn things. And Jesus, like, I did the work. I died in your place and I rose again for your salvation. I did the work. I need you to trust in me that is the way for salvation. That is the way to be forgiven. That is the way to have the greatest of life, and then life eternal in my presence fully. I need you to trust that my sacrifice is and always will be enough, period. I know there's important things. We try to teach you important things, try to urge you to do important things. Follow Scripture, follow what God says, but don't add anything to the shed blood and the resurrection of Christ as far as our salvation, our being saved and rescued from sin. So ultimately, while we get to walk with Jesus now, we ultimately get to live in his presence for eternity. We need to know is 2,000 years later, our mission has not changed. Didn't change overnight. It's not different. It is the same. Why we gather. We gather for worship and discipleship and instruction and fellowship. That's why we gather. That's why we do things where you know, fortunately, we're able to have a building where we can set it aside to gather in and be a part in and do those different things in. Okay, but you need to know our mission has not changed. It has not changed. This is what normally I try to be really succinct. It's to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. To lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. We hope every Sunday you come here, we worship together, you fellowship together, we open the Word together, and you receive some instruction so you're led into a greater relationship, growing closer and closer to Him. That's what we are praying for would take place and happen. But that mission has not changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ, everyone who calls, we can't forget that, share with those around you, and it's only Jesus. Now, last week I did something, so I attempted to do it again, okay, just to try to help us in this understanding of praying together, and what are we praying for, and are we praying as the early church prayed, and so, you know, the same thing. So I'm going to read down this, and then in a few moments I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to pray this together before we worship the Lord one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. I'd stop right there. If you haven't experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, gosh, he just invites us. He invites us to do that. He has paid all of it, and he has probably been speaking to you about, I want you as my son or daughter. I want to adopt you into my family. You can experience forgiveness and hope and have the hope of glory because of Jesus. So so pray this only, right, if you know you are forgiven and free in Christ. Thank you for saving me through the death and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. Remind me your gospel is for everyone. And remind me it's my mission to share your gospel with those around me and keep me from adding nothing to your gospel in Jesus' name. It's pretty simple, but I want all those elements in there so that we understand how we're praying for this powerful gospel. That it's all of our responsibility. We all have people who cross our path. That God loves to do that. He loves to do that. He is the architect of circumstances. Just loves to do that in his sovereignty. Just put people who are experiencing some difficulties, and oh my goodness, we've experienced those same things, and here's how Scripture up, and this is what Jesus did to help me through those things. That's why they've intersected your life, to do just that, to share with them. But first and foremost, I hope all of you know Christ. Those of you watching online, same thing, and if not, you know, just all you have to do is cry out to the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is your responsibility then, to call out and find forgiveness and salvation in him. It is available and free, and he pulls us. You are not here this morning by accident. You are here for a reason. You are watching for a reason. Because it is Jesus' way of saying, see, I've wanted you your entire life. And I did everything in order to save and to reach you. So, if you would like to, and I will tell you again, I leave some cards up here, and you can take these or not. I'll put it out on social, our Thrive Church group page later. But I would invite you, if you would like to stand, and we will pray this together, and then I'll offer a prayer. We're going to worship the Lord one more time. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind me your gospel is for everyone. Remind me it's my mission to share your gospel with those around me. And keep me from adding nothing to your gospel in Jesus' name. Father, we have offered that prayer as a church. Pray that you would be honored with that prayer. That in Revelation, the prayers are incense to you. May you be pleased with our prayer. Father, first and foremost, we would ask for the salvation of everyone in this room and watching right now, or in future days, that they would come to know you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For whatever reason we've allowed the enemy to tell us we can't be, you say, no, I died and rose again. You can be saved. And then, Father, would you remind us, we have a mission. We have an opportunity. The reason we walk into Walmart and see those people is not to talk about the weather. It's actually to love on them and give grace to them and show them Jesus who you are. Forgive us for every opportunity we just mess up. We know we're forgiven. Father, help us to do better in our workplace, every place we happen to be. We would see people as you see them. And then, Father, help us. It's so hard because we know things are important. We just want to add them. And all of a sudden, in our language, we're telling people to come to Christ and we're having arguments. I don't think you're saved if you don't. Father, we would pray what James wrote, that you would tame our tongues from entering places that do not represent your truth. So, Father, now as we get ready to sing this song, that you are a wonderful, merciful Savior, that we would just rejoice in the salvation you've given to us, or perhaps salvation we've just experienced today. And that we would celebrate, Father, what you have done.